What's up? You are here, and so now we can get started. I'm Z.
And this is Amy.
And you're here for an episode of Curse Words and Crayons presents True Crime. It is another heavy case day, another serial killer, Ed Edwards, to be exact. So Edwards.
Yeah, mean. And you're going to find out, not even a birth name.
Oh, yeah, it is.
So, like, why did you choose that name? It's dumb.
It is stupid. And then also, I guess we should mention, he is connected with last week's murders, Ricky Beard and Mary Lenard. That is why we are covering him. And all these individuals, they hail from Amy's hometown, which, Amy, how does that make you feel?
Like, I need a real deal adult. Like, listen, I had not heard of any of these cases. And to be honest, it makes me want to look into more and not. I feel like your folks are always giving us recommendations and they're always like Texas based. But like Houston is so big.
Houston's huge. Texas is big.
But my area, where my hometown is very, very small. But it makes you like want to like check behind your back just a little bit, you know, like it's a little unnerving when his connection came up in the last case we covered. I was like, ooh, I want to know about that guy because he was a serial killer. But after today's case, y'all are going to be floored. And I have a feeling this podcast is going to be changed to the Ed Edwards podcast because what the hell? You guys are in for it. It's a good one.
It's a lot, but it's crazy. And I just haven't heard very much about him. He is known as the quote unquote unknown serial killer in a lot of places.
It's so bizarre. It's so, so very interesting. Before we get started, though, do you have a show and tell for us?
I do, and it is Scrub Daddies.
Oh, I love Scrub Daddies.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so I really didn't want to love them because I use, and now I realize Scrub Daddies are kind of the same thing. I don't like products sometimes, or movies, or series, or literally anything that is too overhyped. Okay. I felt like for the longest time that Scrub Daddies were too overhyped. Just like the pink stuff. I feel like the pink stuff also has ingredients in it that I don't want to use. Barkeeper's right. Friend, same thing. I feel like it has ingredients in it that I don't want to use. I don't know what the Scrub Daddy is made of. I'm not going to look into it. It is fucking fabulous. It is just as good as what I thought it was going to be. I have scrubbed soap scum off my shower. I have incredibly hard water. Nothing gets it off. I've used vinegar and dish soap and this, that, and the other, and pumice stones and like all of the things, and like so much manpower. The only thing that like really does it is one of those drill head brushes.
Oh yeah.
But I have to have the time for that, and I really don't.
And who wants to drag out all that shit to clean their bathtub?
No, I don't. All the time, every fucking week, because it happens so often because we have such bad hard water. It's the worst. But the Scrub Daddy.
Unfortunately or fortunately for you, you don't use any chemically stuff. So, like, I'm sure if you had, like, some, like, highly concentrated, battery acid, it would be fine. Right.
Yes.
So finding stuff that works.
The walls, it'd be great.
Right. And finding stuff that works for your specific cleaning needs is tough.
Exactly.
It's tough. Yeah.
Exactly. And I had already switched to, you can find these at Trader Joe's. We're also going to link these in the shop as well, because these are just like, these are fun in the Amazon shop. But I use they're made from plants, but they're sponges. And they're flat, and then you run them underwater, and they puff out.
Ooh.
And they're made from, I don't know, science and stuff, and it's plants, okay? And
made
they're
from
bio
pure science.
They're biodegradable,
ooh,
which I think is great, okay? So I can add them into my compost.
Yeah.
I love that, right? So then that led me down to Scrub Daddies. I was shopping at Five Below with my kid. I saw Scrub Daddies. It was right before Mother's Day. And I know it's so stupid because it's like fucking
happy
sponge.
Mother's Day to me.
But I was like, treat your fucking self. And so
I got one. Get yourself a nice sponge.
I do wash a lot of dishes, especially right now because my youngest has started eating solids. And so I am washing.
No, stop it.
Surfaces. Oh, he's been eating solids for almost a month. He loves all the foods. I could list them off.
He's a teenager. What is
happening? Oh, my gosh. We call him Sir Fat Fats. We've been calling him that forever. since he doubled his weight when he was like a week old or what, from 1 week to like 2 weeks, he like doubled his weight.
Love it.
He never lost any weight once he was born either because I don't know, my boobies work like a champ, I guess. Who knows?
He has like the nursing champion of the world. So,
and he has like various like ties and like nose issues. Like he should not be able to consume things the way that he can, but no, he loves food so much and it just really lives up to his name because, you know, we have been calling him Sir Fat Fats for the longest time. It's just so cute. He loves it. He's shuffling in his mouth. Anyways, I'm forever cleaning fucking surfaces,
yes,
right?
Right.
And this so helpful. I deep cleaned my house today and I love it. I also want to get the scrub mommies because I hear the scrub mommies are better for tile, for bathroom.
Okay.
Because one side is supposed to be harder than the other side.
Which is how the scrub daddy though is too, right? Like there's a sponge on one side and like a Brillo pad thingy on the other.
No, it's just one thing.
Oh, I thought all this time I had a scrub daddy. Maybe what I have is a scrub mommy because I have two sides. One is a sponge and the other is like a crinkly thing.
I'm not a fucking expert and we will link all of them. We will link the other sponges. That would be so fun if you wanted to do stamps with your kids and other little, you want to cut them up and do sensory activities of some sort. Those are the kind that you should use because they're biodegradable. Oh my goodness. And they fluff up in the water the first time.
Which, how so fun is cool. that for a kid?
It's really neat. It's really neat. So we'll link those and then we will link the scrub daddy, the scrub mommy, the scrub cousin, line. Scrub uncle, scrub aunt.
Get them all. Scrub. Why not?
I don't want no scrub. Scrub is the guy who can't get no love from me. Any of them, they will all be linked.
Link it up and you can find them in our Amazon store. Scrub Daddy actually came from Shark Tank. And there was a long time for a while that my sister and I would just basically purchase anything off of Shark Tank. Like we would watch that show and be like, I need all of this stuff because we have a problem.
Remember when it was huge?
Yeah.
Shark Tank used to be like, still watch it?
No, I don't know if it's like still on, but like I'll catch like reruns if I'm like in a hotel or something like that.
Is it one of those shows that comes all the time? Or is it like Ridiculousness with Rob Derrick, whatever that dude's name is, where he is on literal season like 48 or something like that. He films over 300 episodes a year. So the repeats that you're seeing of Ridiculousness are normally newer episodes.
Right.
You know that? I didn't know that.
I don't watch live TV anymore, so I don't ever. Well, everything I catch is like either it's got to be like a stream something, but I love it. I love this recommendation. Great job.
Thank you. It's been a while since. Well, not even that long. I was going to be like, it's been a while since I recommended a cleaning product, but that's not true because you'll also find like a car vacuum on there, and then what else did I do? The green machine in that episode.
Yeah.
All those are just really though, guys, I don't like spending money on things that don't work. Amy is the same thing.
Yes.
So everything that we recommend are things that
we use. Yeah.
Yes. Sometimes it takes us a minute.
Yeah.
Exactly. This is just fun for us. We love recommending. We're not like sponsored or anything. No. Please sponsor us. If you have some products, we'd love to use them out and give it a nice like sponsor, shout out for you, but these are just things that we really, really like, we really enjoy, and we want to talk to you about them so we can just come together as a community of true crime friends that also just love each other.
Love it. Let's jump into this case, shall we?
Ed Edwards was born in Akron, Ohio on June 14th, 1933. That means he's a Cancer. Just letting you know, he's a water sign. It's just a fact. He was initially, I know that because that's what, my daughter is a Cancer and my brother, no, not my brother, but my daughter is a Cancer. So that's, I think my brother is one. Whatever, that's beside the fact. Anyways, he was originally named, initially, he was named Charles Murray. And he was, this is super sad, he was born to a mom who committed suicide in front of him when he was still just a toddler. Following his mother's death, authorities shuffled him through a series of orphanages. He ended up at one where he was abused physically and emotionally by the nuns there. That's what he says. That's mm-hmm. his account of it. He actually said that he was sexually assaulted too. This kind of checks out for what I know about Catholic schools in the 30s. Checks out in general for boarding schools. I'm not trying to poop on Catholic schools. I just want to say schools in general, boarding specifically, right, feels like probable. A fun quote from one, actually this is from his memoir because he ended up writing a memoir. When a nun asked him what he wanted to be, he told her, "Sister, I'm going to be a crook and I'm going to be a good one."
I mean, listen, he had ambition, right? Like, he wasn't just going to be a crook. He was going to be a good one. So from a young age, he was ready to go.
If you're
going to
do it, do it.
Do it and be good at it.
And hold your head up proud. You know, if that's your life ambition, that is your life ambition. So Edward, like I stated, said he suffered mental, physical, and sexual torture throughout his childhood. I'm not sure if that was all just at the hands of the nuns or throughout all of his, like, bouncing around when he was super young. Regardless, this had to be extremely traumatic for him.
For sure.
And things apparently did not go well in the orphanage, the nunnerage. I'm sure the abuse played a hand into it. He was sentenced to serve time in a juvenile detention center. Edwards was allowed to leave to join the Marines. So cool. Not so cool, but that's great, right?
Well, sounds like they were trying to, like, get him on a path that was not, I'm going to be the best crook there is, you know?
Exactly. And if you focus your energy towards something good, a lot of times you can do great things with that, accompanied with therapy. And maybe he just had never had a good outlet to put these feelings.
He started his life at a pretty nasty, you know, his mom committed suicide in front of him, which I feel like I hear a lot about when we talk about cases of people that are, like, murdering other people, you know, head injuries, really abusive children, you know, traumatic childhood experiences, those kinds of things.
He does eventually go AWOL from the Marines. He was dishonorably discharged. He goes on to travel regardless, frequently throughout his 20s and 30s, working assorted jobs like a ship docker, a vacuum clean retailer, a handyman, you name it. That's a various, you know, lower skilled job, right, one that you can bounce around to.
Right. I feel like a lot of, like, you hear about a lot of, like, door-to-door salesmen that are kind of, like, shady characters. So, like, it kind of lines up. I imagine this is probably why they got rid of that kind of, I mean, I'm sure there still are, like, solicitors, but
I don't know why that had never done. We are talking about a serial killer, so I hope this isn't a spoiler alert for anybody. I had never thought about him being, like, a door-to-door salesman who murdered people.
Not that all door-to-door salesmen no. murder people, but it sure gives you access to unsuspecting people.
I would have never thought, because I just don't open my door, even for people that I know. If you come a knock in and you are unexpected, I will not come a walk in.
Do you have an appointment?
No, straight up, because I'm not wearing pants.
I'm not interested. Right. No, I'm busy. I got other stuff to do.
And I probably have a boob out. I'm breastfeeding right now, and it is what it is. So those things. In 1955, he escapes from jail. So he'd been taken into custody for a little bit in Akron, just for various things.
Like robbery. A lot of his early stuff was like arson, robbery.
Something stupid, something pettyish. And he, after he got a break from jail, because he's out on parole, I guess, he drifted around the country robbing gas stations. And he never disguised himself because he wanted to become famous. Sames. I mean, Edward, okay.
Take a picture of this. I want to be on Bravo. Come on, man.
Have you seen, you probably haven't seen Total Drama Island because it's so stupid, but the intro song is, I wanna be famous. And it's,
I have not, but I think that song was written about Ed Edwards. That's what I think probably. Originally, before it became the Total Action Island or whatever you just called it.
Total Drama Island. It's awful. It's really bad. It's really bad. I feel like Chris might like it. It is about summer parks, summer camps, but it is animated and it is a play on both the challenge and those kind of things.
Is it animated for kids?
Oh, Aurora has watched it. Would I recommend it for your children?
For children, no. Aww. I feel like Hayden might have watched something similar.
It's like Celebrity Deathmatch. It's not at all like that. It's not at all like that. Don't get me wrong. But it is definitely a cartoon made for adults.
Gotcha.
But it's not so awful, whereas if the kids walked in the room, you'd have to...
like turn it off.
It's not Game of Thrones. Yeah. Where you're like, I'm sorry that I just subjected you to pornography. either way, so Edwards lives as a fugitive until the cops nab him for those armed robberies 7 years later.
And I'm assuming this is because he's going around and he's not sedentary. He's like all over the country. He's taking his robberies on tour. Like, they're all over the place.
And so he's not top lawyer in the country. Nobody's calling on him. He's assuming new identities when he goes places. I guess you don't need a social security number to get hired at this point. Probably especially not for... No, and especially not for, I don't know, going door-to-door.
Right, the work that he's doing is probably like...
handyman. No, right. I mean... Yeah.
So after spending a couple years as a fugitive, he's placed on the FBI's 10 most wanted list in 1961 after he escaped from a Portland, Oregon jail in 1960, where he had been held on suspicion of impersonating a federal officer. He served another couple of years, starting in 1962, when he was paroled in 1967. He claimed that the influence of a guard at Leavenworth, where he was placed, had reformed him. He got married, he reinvented himself as an author and a motivational speaker.
Married him?
Right, but he must have been really charismatic, because they often say that serial killers are very charismatic. So maybe he just had like a super sweet personality. But he spoke on the topic of prison reform and criminal rehabilitation. But this might explain why somebody married him. He was on two television shows at some point. To Tell the Truth, which was, I think, one of those like game shows where like you had to like figure out what the lie was. I feel like I've seen old reruns of it. And What's My Line? And then he wrote...
like the one that the bald guy and the black guy and the tall, lanky dude.
I thought the same
and
thing.
Drew Carey. That's the name I was looking for.
He's from Cleveland. Wayne. Yes.
Wayne something.
Gretzky. That's
two Waynes.
Two Waynes?
I don't know.
Two chains.
Somebody's name's Wayne.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. Somebody's
Wayne. Wayne Brady. Isn't that his name? I think it is.
Oh, yeah. Probably. That sounds, yeah. That sounds, I mean, I don't know anybody's name.
I'm yeah, awful. But that's not that show. That is okay. That's Whose Line Is It Anyways? And
oh, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah. When I read that, I was like, what the fuck?
Wouldn't that have been crazy?
I was blown away.
Especially when you hear about all
I really thought it was.
He's connected to. It's like, and he was hanging out with Drew Carey? What the hell?
No, I knew it wouldn't have been Drew Carey, but I meant like the, like, you know how okay, The Price is Right is still
right,
going on.
Through with, different.
Isn't that with Drew Carey too, actually?
He
LOL.
Actually is.
So,
yeah.
Yes. So there
maybe
you go.
Drew
I didn't know.
Is Ed Edwards. What?
Oh my goodness.
He's not. He's not everyone. He's not.
No,
it's a different guy.
Don't that do guy. It. Don't egg his house. That's not kind.
I know. That's not nice. He is from the Cleveland area, which if you ever watched the Drew Carey show, it was all about living in Cleveland.
I can't get past his makeup, so I can't watch it. It's disturbing.
Oh, the that blue. Lady, Mimi.
Yeah, is that her name? Yeah, Mimi.
I think so
with the blue and the red. It's too
yes,
much.
Yes, she was like the first non-gay drag queen. Maybe I don't know. that's not true.
I yes.
But this show was a long-running panel show where celebrity panels questioned members of the public or a famous guest to try and guess what their jobs were. Do you think maybe he was like, I'm a serial
killer? Oh, LOL, I'm a serial killer.
Isn't that funny?
You never guessed that.
And they were right. Yeah, isn't that crazy? But then after that, he wrote an autobiography, The Metamorphosis of a Criminal, The True Life Story of Ed Edwards. And that came out in 1972. So
are
he was like a hot
it?
Commodity.
Are you going to buy it? Should we add it to our Amazon storefront?
We should absolutely add it to our Amazon storefront. And I might buy it and read it. I don't know. I think it's fascinating. There is a lot more about this gentleman than I really need to learn. And you are all about to find out why. So in 1980, he began working as a handyman at a reception hall where, surprisingly, two individuals had been murdered.
Bum, bum, bum.
It's the last place they were seen. Investigators questioned him shortly after the couple disappeared, and shockingly, he abruptly moved to another state. So by 1982, so like 10 years later, he was back in prison for 2 years in Pennsylvania for arson. His life went on like this for a while, in and out of jail, various crimes, various things, moving kind of all over the place. Between 1974 and 2009, y'all, he lived in more than a dozen different states when he wasn't incarcerated. And he has a daughter, because remember, he got married and apparently had some children. And according to her, he used a lot of false names. So he would move around a lot. He's changing his name. He's doing all the things. He was frequently reinventing himself. And then as soon as he was about to get caught, he would just like move. So like he would sense, I guess, or know that people were catching on to him and he would go away. He was finally caught in 2009 when he was arrested for a murder in Louisville, Kentucky. His neighbors described him as pleasant and neighborly. And in 2010, he pleaded guilty to the murders of Billy Lovaco, of Doylestown, Ohio. So these are like old murders. Judith Straub of Sterling, Ohio, which is just outside of Doylestown, and Tim Hack and Kelly Drew that were from Jefferson, Wisconsin.
The first murders for which he was convicted for, making him a documented serial killer, took place in Ohio in 1977, which was William or Billy. His girlfriend was Judith, and they had been dating for 8 months when her car was found in the parking lot of Silver Creek Metro Park on August 7th in 1977. Her purse, so Judith's purse and shoes, were still inside her car when they found her car. Family members gathered in the lot the next day as the police searched. The National Guard even came in with like a helicopter and helped the search as well. They looked throughout all the high weeds. This is an area where it is, there's a lot of high weeds. That's where they found them lying on the ground, shot at point blank range with a 20 gauge shotgun. He received life sentences for these crimes in 2010. And this is, that's a lot like the Mary Lenard and Ricky Beard case right there, that it's a couple basically out at Lover's Lane, if you will, and they get shot point blank and they are found in a wooded area nearby.
Which is, I think, what connected him to those murders, or what they thought connected him to those murders. Which is how he became, like, a possible theory.
Exactly. So the second pair of murders, it was another double homicide that he was convicted of, happened in Wisconsin, in Concord, Wisconsin, in 1980, when Tim Heck and Kelly Drew were stabbed and then strangled. Also, either Mary or Ricky were stabbed.
Mary.
There you go.
Had been stabbed, yeah.
These were referred to, so Tim Hack and Kelly Drew, they were referred to as the Sweetheart Murders. Edwards had been questioned at the time. Remember when he was questioned after those couple, that couple that the murders, the mysterious murders. Okay, well, these were those mysterious murders. But at the time, there was no basis to hold him on. So almost 29 years later, his connection to the crime was established by DNA testing. And his daughter, Alice, was the one who tipped off the police to his possible involvement.
I mean, good for you. That has got to be, like, children of, like, some of these criminals that we cover are just, like, it's insane to me. But I did look a little bit, because his story and the murders, like, really gives a real, like, American Horror Story vibe. Now, I know they kind of just take a lot of different things, but what was it? The circus one.
Okay.
I feel like the killer in that one, like, and that's not, like, uncommon, like, where there's people at Lover's Lane and then they get shot and, like, all that stuff. But I couldn't find any connection between the two, but it's very... I don't know. I don't want to make light of these cases, but it's like a very cliche way to, like, kill people.
It is.
It's kind of rude, but it is what it is.
It is. It feels very slasher filmy.
Yes.
Edwards confessed to a fifth murder. So this is another murder. And this murder happened in 1996, and it was the murder of his foster son, 25-year-old Danny Boy Edwards, in Burton, Ohio. He had lived with Edwards and his family for several years. He murdered Danny Boy in order to collect $250,000 of insurance money. Danny Boy was a soldier boy in the army, and he was persuaded by Edwards to go AWOL. Instead, he took him to the woods. So he took Danny into the woods near his house, and he shot him twice in the face, and he left his body in a shallow grave where it was discovered later by a hunter. So he was sentenced to death for that murder in 2011. Check it. He died of natural causes in the Corrections Medical Center in April, avoiding execution by lethal injection set for later that month on the 31st. So I get that he was going to die, but the fact that he just up and did it on his own just sucks. I'm not saying it's right. Like, I don't know how I feel about lethal injection. I'm right. Just not... I just hate that, you know, when they die early, it feels like justice isn't served.
Right. It's like it lacks closure. I would feel like if it was like my family, I'm the same way. Like, I don't know how I feel about the death penalty, but I would feel bad, sad, no closure if that happened to me. But so this is like the case, which is crazy, right? Like, it's just like, holy moly, there's so much happening.
That's only five murders. So he went to jail for five murders.
Right. But as Z was like researching all of this, he has connections or lots of experts, like not just one person, not like some crazy theorist. Several experts believe that Edwards may have actually been the Zodiac Killer, who was like in like his like killing spree was like from 1968 to 1972. Edwards,
which totally 68 to 72, that which matches.
Fits when he was
out of jail,
and eventually he makes it to Portland, so he would have been on that end of the country.
Yes,
at some point, and moved around a lot, so like going from Portland to California wouldn't be that crazy of a plan. His own daughter thinks that he also is connected to some of these other things. There is a police detective, John Cameron. I've heard him mentioned in other cases before. I know a lot of other podcasts talk about him a lot, but he specializes in cold cases, and he authored a book, and it has turned into a series. Like, you can buy it on Amazon. It's not like you can't watch it anywhere for free, but it's called It's Me, Edward Wayne Edwards, The Serial Killer You Never Heard Of. So there's a book, but then there's also a documentary that like goes through, each episode is about like a different case that they're like following up on and looking into. I might have to break down and just like buy it and watch it. And if I do, I'll give you my password and you can watch it too. Here are the other cases that they think potentially he could have been linked to. The Black Dahlia, which is the actress Elizabeth Short. She was murdered. Her body was found in LA. Like, there's a lot of spooky stories about it, and they still say she haunts LA, like she haunts Hollywood and all this other stuff. Marilyn Reese Shepherd, who was the wife of Dr. Sam Shepherd. Her death is what inspired the movie The Fugitive. Jimmy Hoffa. Ooh. Everybody's always finding Jimmy Hoffa. He was a Teamster boss in 1975. He went missing. They think that this could also be tied to him. Martha Moxley, who was a Connecticut teenager whose case remained open until 2002 when somebody by the name of Michael Skakel was convicted of killing her.
Oh, yeah.
Since then, he's walked free, and Moxley's death is unsolved, and that was in 1975. Adam Walsh, which his dad, John Walsh, hosted America's Most Wanted. He was abducted when he was 6. They had linked him to somebody named Otis Toole, but there's also some theories that think that he's connected to Ed Edwards. The West Memphis Three, there were 3 guys who served 18 years for the murder of 3 little boys. But a lot of people say that they don't feel like that there was enough evidence to commit them, but they were convicted. JonBenet Ramsey. What the
bump, bump, bump.
Chandra Levy.
I don't see it, though. I don't see it because, yeah, she was strangled, but she was left in her own home. And, like, he doesn't break into people's homes. That we know of, I guess.
Right. So these last
that
ones
seemed like a stretch.
That I was kind of like, I mean, are we just throwing it like we're seeing Elvis everywhere? Like, is this just like... No, he was totally in this one. But these last ones are definitely ones that you've heard of. JonBenet Ramsey, Chandra Levy, who was a DC intern, Lacey Peterson, who everybody thinks her husband killed her.
I could see that, though, because she was left outside.
I mean,
and she was outside of her own home.
Yeah.
So that, to me, makes more sense.
Yeah, and the last one is Teresa Halbach, for sure. Well, and I think some of these, like I said, I do think it was kind of like, oh yeah, and this one, and the Tooth Fairy. And it's like, okay, like we're getting a little bit. But I mean, it's definitely an interesting theory to think about. But Teresa Halbach, she's the photographer who died, and they did the documentary Making a Murderer. Stephen Avery and Brandon Dassey. Okay. They're both in prison for her murder right now. And they think he could potentially have been involved. But these cases are like so heavily publicized. I don't think that there is a case in here that I was like, oh, I don't know. I've never heard of that one. So these ones are all like super high publicized cases. But like, do you think he was involved?
I could see it. I could see it the way that he just discarded bodies, especially if he wasn't sexually assaulting all of them.
Right.
Then yes. If they weren't sexually assaulted and he's just like with the Bayou Strangler, he just was out there fucking murdering people left and right. So apparently, yeah, I can see it. I can see it.
I mean,
all of them. I could see if he was connected to several of these, not all of these, but several of them I could see.
I feel like I could see it, but I also feel like, I mean, so eventually he was convicted of 5, which in like serial killer land is like kind of a puny amount, not right? Much. Like it's not like that many. So to be like, oh, 5 and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 10 other cases that are like, yep, he's probably connected to that. I don't know. I think we could do a whole series on this theory. Like there, I would love to know more about like, okay, what made these people think he was connected? I'm going to be doing some looking into the connections because I think especially the JonBenet Ramsey case, like it haunts my dreams. Like that is one that I just want to know what happened. And like, I feel like now that everybody is like dead, like her mom is dead and her brother is like weird and terribly traumatized. And like the Lacey Peterson case where everybody like, what if he did kill Lacey Peterson? And like Scott Peterson is just, he murdered her. Like, what? I don't know. I have never heard of a case, or we have not covered a case where there has been so much tie to like huge
everything.
Cases. Yes.
Yeah. Just a fun closing fact, just a weird fact, I guess. In 1993, he wrote a letter in the FBI. Well, he wrote a letter to the FBI, excuse me, and Edwards requested his criminal and history records for cities in 19 states, claiming that J. Edgar Hoover more or less gave me permission to proceed, quote unquote, with his 1972 autobiography. After he assured him there was nothing bad in it about the FBI. And he was writing a new book about criminals that he met while incarcerated, et cetera, et cetera. I hate this so much. I hate that he was able to live so much of his life out there just killing people, doing the things, living his life. Because he went away for murders that happened in the 70s, but then also a murder that happened in 1996. If he just so casually shot his 25-year-old foster son, you cannot tell me that he did not casually kill more than for money. You cannot tell me that he didn't casually kill more people than just those two double homicides. That seemed like that was for funs, for funsies for him. That seemed like, oh, LOL, you know what I'm going to do tonight? It's a Thursday. I'm going to go fucking kill somebody, actually two somebodies on Lover's Lane because that's my kicks.
I wonder, it's always interesting to me when you do have like a Lover's Lane type situation where somebody is coming after like a couple and it's like, are you coming after them because they are in love? Is it a shame thing where he was sexually abused and so like these two people were having sex and like, he feels he's like this vigilante who needs to like defend the world and do all these things? I don't know what the, so it seemed like most of his at least convictions, well, 2, 4 of the 5 were couples with the potential for a 2 more, which would be the case we covered last week. Then there's all these other random cases that are not, they are not couple related. They're not like relationships. It's just one single woman. But his mom killed herself in front of him. So like maybe he had like a thing against women. He didn't like them because mommy issues and all that. I just, my first thoughts about this case were really like, oh, this is a serial killer I didn't know about. And then comes to turns out that's literally his thing, like the unknown serial killer. And now I'm questioning all of my opinions on the cases I know. I think this guy is guilty of every case we've ever covered. Brian Schaefer, he's behind it.
He did it.
Nanny Doss, it's actually Ed Edwards all along. It was not Nanny Doss. He
would
had
be
a wig
so
on.
Pissed. I mean, she would straight up murder you.
She would. She would stab you in the back with a hat pin, because that's in the back of the neck. Because that's how she do.
It's head.
Is it the top of the head? I thought it was like the brain stem. Like I thought it was back here.
Oh, maybe it was anatomy. You know, science.
I mean, babies' heads are pretty small, so I think anywhere you're going to stick it with a hat pin, it's probably going to be bad news bears.
I was not expecting all of this from...
No, sir.
A mild suggestion that you gave last...
It was like, sure, let's cover this. That'll be fun. And it's like, I'm sorry, what?
Yeah. So next time when we come back, it's going to be with a parenting chat episode. I said that I would be telling you this week about the dance mom fucking catty ass mom fight that I had. It wasn't that bad, but like it was. It's not this week. It is next week. When you come back, we are going to be telling stories of conflict that we have dealt with since becoming parents with different types of people. So fellow parents, our kids, friends, teachers, paid caretakers. So we're going to give you, and these are situations that one are fun. So it's just a story time. They're not fun, but these are just outrageous. These are our best party stories, right? Basically, right. I think that's the best summary that I could give it.
Yeah.
These are our best party stories of conflict from different various situations that we've had to deal with as a parent.
Can't wait.
I'm excited.
Me too.
I love hearing about shit like this.
Oh my God.
I can't wait to hear your stories, and I cannot wait to tell you about my dance mom saga because more will have happened. And yeah, I just cannot wait to hear your personal stories. Do you have a teaser? Do you already have one in mind? Yeah, that you want to throw out there? Are you just gonna tight lip, or do you not even know? You'll be back when you're back and listen up.
I mean, I feel like I have so many because often I put my foot in my mouth, and also if I do something as a parent, I usually do it with pretty decent conviction. And so I feel like there's been a couple of times when I've had to school a caretaker. We did have a situation recently, like within the last year or so, with a teacher at Hayden's school. There's been a couple of issues with like old school teachers that I'm sure I'll be able to throw in. So that has been fun. And you know, when you raise a really strong-willed gang member like my children, they take no shit, and I can't fault them for that. So I will be sharing so many stories. I cannot wait to hear your dance mom stories because there is a literal show around dance mom's drama. So honestly, I'm a little shocked you've made it this far, and this being like your first real like altercation.
I know. I've been a dance mom for 2.5 years, and I try to say hi to everybody at the studio because I maybe the more people that I'm nice to,
yes,
the more friends Aurora will have, so I can set up play dates, and maybe the less socially anxious,
sure,
I will feel walking in. But most of the time, it's the opposite because then I know more people, so I can't like. Either way, we will be back with that next week. Yes,
can't wait.
You'll be here. Talk to you then. Bye.
Goodbye.